Welcome to the Voices of Veritas podcast. I'm Candace Pritz, Community Relations with Veritas Christian Academy, and I'm here today with Dr. Woods, our headmaster, and our principals, Nick Phillips, Sherry Sullivan, and Michelle Hill. Today, we'll be discussing the good, the true, and the beautiful at Veritas Christian Academy. Let's tune in to hear more about how these three virtues are woven into the very fabric of our school.
Veritas Christian Academy, as a classical Christ-centered school, we stand within that rich tradition of Christ-centered learning within the classical heritage. At the very heart of it is the person of Christ. But if we were to say, what categories, what terms govern our everyday thinking within the classroom, it would be the true, the good, and the beautiful. These are biblical categories. They're also found among ancient Greek and Roman writers. And for centuries, they were at the heart of great classical education. Those truths, those beliefs, the true, the good, and the beautiful are very much alive at Veritas Christian Academy. We desire to cultivate within our students, our staff, our teachers, our parents, the heart to experience the true, the good, and the beautiful. I can assure everyone, if you will come to Veritas Christian Academy, you'll see it in the classrooms, you'll hear it in the halls, and it will be a part of the learning experience all around our school. So let's begin. Mrs. Hill, what would you say would be some examples of the true, the good, and the beautiful within the grammar school?
Well, in the grammar school, we have the ability of exploring with our hands, with our minds, and being very active with nature. And so we see the truth in many different ways, but one that comes to mind would be when our fourth graders are caring for hermit crabs, and they learn the balance of the hermit crab's role in the ecosystem, and that every life is valuable, and if one is out of sync, it affects everything in the ecosystem. So they learn to care for these hermit crabs. They see their value. Their life contributes to our society, to our world, to our ecosystems. And in turn, they start looking at themselves and realize that their life is valuable too, and that God has a special purpose for them as well. When we look at goodness, I think of one of the books that we read in our literature curriculum, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And our students respond accordingly when different events happen in the book, especially when Edmund trusts the White Witch, and they're all frustrated with his choice. But then when we see what Aslan does, his goodness, and they cheer when Aslan is back alive again and that Edmund is rejoining his family. They see that goodness. They see that reconciliation in the story, and it is an easy transition for us to talk about just what Christ has done for us. And then when it comes to beauty, we love to go across the different subjects, and for instance, our first graders were studying history, and their teacher showed them a painting of the water lilies, and it's an iconic piece, something that many of us have seen, and we had these first graders recreate that painting using coffee filters and markers, and it was such a simple project, but they saw the beauty of that painting, and then to be able to recreate it and connect that to their history lesson was just what we were looking for, because these students, who especially are artists, were able to express themselves for their classmates to be able to see the beauty in it.
That's marvelous. Ms. Sullivan, when you think about what our teachers are doing in the classrooms with the Logic School, what would you point to say, here are examples of the true, the good, and the beautiful being put to the students and encouraging them to internalize these great truths?
Well, I think most recently, I'm teaching an art appreciation class for the first time, and we've met for a couple of weeks now. And one of the things that the students really seemed to understand quickly is the fact that God has given us this innate desire for beauty, to see it, to acknowledge it, to reproduce it. And that makes us different from the other animals that are there. But he has given us in his own image this desire to want to do that and to appreciate it for what it is. It's a God-given ability that makes us different, and it makes us special. It makes them special, and gives them a desire to want to see more and learn more. I know in science, we have done some work with studying how the planets move and order and precision. They did a worksheet where they actually go through and keep track of the length of days and nights so that they can see when the seasons change.
So this kind of order accentuates or points to the goodness of God, the beauty of God. Is that what you're thinking?
Certainly. And how he just keeps, even year to year to year, these same things work because he's made it that way. And for them to be able to see, wow, it just puts such an appreciation for them as far as God is in control. And it's a beautiful thing to see year after year after year, whether you at first acknowledge that.
I'd never thought of it quite in those terms before, but that the orderliness of God and God's created order does in different ways point to the true, the good, and the beautiful within creation. That's outstanding. Mr. Phillips, what would you say, what would you point to, or how would you guide us to those things, the true, the good, the beautiful, in the rhetoric school?
Oh my goodness. So Ms. Hill, our grammar school principal, and Ms. Sullivan, our logic school principal, have done a great job already discussing what goes on in grammar and logic school in terms of the good, the true, and the beautiful. And it's just my hope that in rhetoric, we build on that foundation that they've established. Ms. Sullivan, for instance, mentioned precision and order. The quantitative subjects, math and science, those subjects that you can actually have a mathematical truth, a quantitative mm-hmm. truth, it's seven or it's not seven. The angle is acute or it isn't. We extend on that into algebra and geometry and calculus and chemistry and physics and our AP science classes and those things. One of our math teachers, Mr. Thompson, has in gigantic letters in his classroom, precision and order. And the mathematical world upon which the scientific world is built is precise and orderly, and it is good, and God called it good at the beginning of creation. And so how can it be anything else? And so it's our hope in the rhetoric school that we continue to build on such a beautiful foundation that has been established in grammar and logic school. Ms. Hill mentioned that her students, or that the students in grammar are looking at Monet's water lilies, and mm-hmm. Art and music are great loves of mine and great loves of a lot of our teachers. And if you go through an upper school classroom, you will find prints of Raphael's and Fra Angelico's and great cathedrals. You will hear great works of music being played. You will hear Bach and Mozart and Gregorian chant to back up what we're talking about in history and what we're talking about in literature. We're reading great works of literature. We're reading great mm-hmm. works of history. And even when we're reading, you know, the ugly works of history mm-hmm. like Machiavelli or Nietzsche or someone like that, they're able to find any goodness that there may be in them, whether it's an exposition on human nature or whether they're able to discuss or criticize the argument for its faults. And I think the culmination of this is in senior trip. Our seniors get to go to Italy, the site of some of the most beautiful art and architecture and culture that the world's produced, the center in a lot of ways of Western civilization. They will go to Rome. They will look at the Forum. They will look at just the absolute beauty that the Romans produced in their engineering and architecture. They'll go to St. Peter's. They'll see the great works of Michelangelo and Raphael. They'll go to Florence and see the Duomo. They'll see Michelangelo's David. They'll see all these things firsthand. And it's our hope that that's a culmination of what has been building in grammar and logic and through their rhetoric education.
As I've listened to the three of you describe what we do within the Grammar, Logic, Rhetoric School and what the teachers are doing day to day, we're not just introducing them to the idea that there is truth or that God's the author of truth. We introduce them to those things that are true. And we live in a world where there's great debate about, well who's truth? What is truth? Is there such thing as true? We affirm here within Scripture and within the great tradition of classical Christian education, there are things that are true. There are things that are false. There are things that are good. There are things that are bad, things that are right, things that are wrong. And we are called to look and see God's beauty within his creation, but also among people, God's beautiful human creation. So we're trying to get our students to not just see these terms or hear these terms and see certain a case in point. We're trying to get our students, that's how they view the world. That's the lens by which they see, and that Christ is at the very center of all this. Well, I appreciate all of you, and I would encourage parents, as you listen to this, please get your students to give examples of the true, the good, and the beautiful that they experienced any given day here at Veritas.
Thank you all so much for sharing today about the good, the true, and the beautiful at Veritas Christian Academy. Veritas, be on the lookout for more podcasts. If you have something you'd like to hear discussed, feel free to send it to cpritz, that's CPRITZ, @veritasnc.org. We hope you have a wonderful day.